Welcome back to the Committed to Christ podcast. Greg Kelly and a sleeping Dexter dog with you, and we are so glad that he is. You know, we have four dogs, but two of them, I'm not quite sure if they hate each other or that they love each other, but because if our neighbors, when they see our two dogs run around the backyard, just the two, Dexter and Finn, I mean, they act like it's... they're barking and biting and they're running as fast as they can across the backyard.
It's a competition.
It is. And I don't know what for, just to see who can make the lap the fastest.
I think it's more of a dominance thing.
But today we had an issue where we have this gigantic...
Dexter's got a really big bone.
He's got a huge bone. And the reason we got this massive bone for him is to keep him occupied, because for some reason...
Well, he's a very active dog.
He's very... Yes, he is. For every evening, like right around 9 o'clock, 9:30, he just goes in... He just has this fit where he stands between us and just barks and growls and talks and whines. And I don't know... For the life of me, I cannot figure it out what this animal wants.
Attention.
Yeah. But like, what kind of attention? Are we playing tug of war? Or are we going out? I got to be quiet. Are we going O-U-T-S-I-D-E? Or what? It's like having a little kid. You have to spell things out. And then the kid gets smarter and realizes what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he's got this giant bone. Well, Finn... found it today.
We left it in the basement on the floor. We didn't pick it up.
We had it out. And so you came down to a full-on
dog fight. I was doing laundry and
I heard them
going at each other. And I thought, oh, there's a brawl in the family room. And I went out there and Dexter had Finn pinned to the floor. And he was not letting him up. And Finn was just growling and yiping for all he was worth because he wants to be the boss, but he's not big.
Yeah.
It's little dog syndrome.
Right. Well, little dog. Speaking of little dogs, one of our favorite evangelists that we follow is Ray Comfort.
Yes.
And he always goes around with his little dog in the basket on his bicycle, street witnessing to people. Yeah, right. It's amazing. If you've ever seen him, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, check him out on YouTube. There's tons of videos of Ray Comfort witnessing to people on the sidewalks and on the beaches in Southern California. It's
amazing what he can accomplish, and the answers that he has. He blows my mind.
I want to be like that someday. It's very basic. Because when he starts the conversation off with somebody, I mean, he'll put him in a scenario where he'll say, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, obviously we've told a lie. Have you ever stolen anything? Yeah, I probably have stolen something. Well, have you ever looked with lust at someone? And then it starts to get a little
Well, then
more
he'll even say, I've done it. I know you have.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me everybody's done that.
Right. Everybody's done it. And the person will go, yeah. So, and then he'll say, so what you're telling me is you're a liar, you're a thief, and you're a fornicator in your heart and your mind. And maybe you've done it in the physical as well,
adulterer,
on all these things. And the person's standing there offended.
And if God came back right now and he was going to judge you, he would tell you that you're sentenced to hell.
Right.
Because that's what the law says.
But then he leads them into the Bible about how Jesus came to forgive us
repentance
of our sins. But the unique thing about Ray Comfort is that he points out the fact that we are lost sinners before he shows us the way of salvation.
Right, and he calls that the forgotten key of biblical evangelism.
And that is a very important...
Is the law.
Right, that was a very important thing to do. And really, we're going to title this podcast today, The Devil's Best Kept Secret, because even Ray Comfort in his ministry used that title, The Devil's Best Kept Secret, because what happens is if a person finds out that they can go to heaven by believing in Jesus.
Right.
Man.
I mean, wouldn't you want to go to heaven?
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. I'll believe in Jesus. But when you point out to them.
Well, his example.
Their sin.
The example he uses is the $25,000 ticket that you get.
Go ahead and tell that story.
So I was reading, and I'm probably not going to quote this correctly, but I've been following him a lot. And I was kind of, he uses this example where he'll say, okay, so if you go up to someone and you say, hey, so my friend over there, he just went and paid your $25,000 fine.
And I'm like, why?
I don't have a fine.
I didn't do anything.
What are you talking about? Right. And that's what we do when we try to give someone Jesus before they understand
why
they're a sinner. Right. Mm-hmm. And he even uses the example of a parachute. You have this parachute on and someone gives it to you. Here, we're on this plane. Here's a parachute. Well, what do I need the parachute? What do I need the parachute for? Is the plane going to crash? So you put it on and you think, oh, the plane might crash, and you wear it for a while. But then after a while, you're like, this is really heavy and uncomfortable. And obviously we're still going along here and nothing's happening, and you take it off. Mm. And that's what a lot of people do when they get saved, because they don't understand the law. Because they're a sinner.
It's a very temporary conversion.
Yes. And what he's saying is that, and it's amazing when I'm reading it, I'm thinking this is how the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament has the law, and the law are the Ten Commandments. You know, and then we get into Romans and we listen to Paul and he talks about all the different things. Even Jesus said, these people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he goes through and he lists, right?
Right. And if you break one, you break all of
the commands. It doesn't matter. Right.
And I can...
So if you went to somebody for the $25,000 and you said, well, you don't understand, this is what happened. You were driving down the road over here and you were going 50 miles an hour. And normally that's the speed limit, you think, but... there's a child crossing there and you sped through it. And there were children that were leaving and coming and going. And there was a camera and they saw you. You sped through that child crossing and the speed limit dropped there and you kept going. So you owe $25,000. And then you realize, oh my goodness, I just ran through 20, you know, I really did do something. Thank you. Then you're sorry because you realized you did it and you're thankful.
Right. And I can remember right before I gave my life to Christ, I think it was the very church service that I gave my life to Christ, that had to be pointed out to me that I was a lost sinner. And that sin had to be exposed.
Right. It's not about heaven. It's about your sin.
I knew before I gave my life to Christ that I had stolen stuff, that I had lied, that I had lusted, that I was a fornicator, all these things. I knew that. But the thing was, I didn't get caught. I didn't, you know, in the world's eyes, I was just doing the worldly thing. But in God's eyes, I broke his laws. And when that was pointed out to me, that's when I had conviction. Not only did I sin against myself with all that other stuff, but I sinned against God.
Right.
And that's when I knew I needed a savior.
And continuing in your relationship with Christ, once you realize that you need him and you go to him and you ask for repentance and you become a new creature, you're still a sinner. You know, and God is still going to show you things that you're doing in your life. That's what this walk is.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we're never, listen, if you have the
we talked about the get out of jail free
that,
card.
Right, that Christians are, you know, goody two shoes and perfect. No, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian.
Absolutely
we're all the works in progress. We all might be at different places in Christ, but we're all works in progress. And I'm reminded of that every day, you know, because we sin, we do. But here's the thing. I don't wake up in the morning wanting to sin. I don't wake up in the morning wanting to do evil, but I find myself doing the things I don't want to do. The difference is I have a savior now that forgives me, that knows my heart, that he knows I don't want to be evil. I don't want to do evil. I don't want to cheat people. I don't want to steal. I don't want to fornicate. I don't want to be an adulterer. I don't want to do these things, right? But so that's the difference between being a saved person and a lost person. The lost person is just happy they're not getting caught by other people. A saved person realizes that they have offended the Lord, that they have broken his laws, and they've sinned against him. But he has provided Christ to forgive us for our sins.
Right. And you love him and you've accepted him and you have a relationship with him now. And the last thing you want to do is hurt him.
Absolutely.
So when you have that conviction, God will then, you know, you accept it and that Holy Spirit shows you that you're doing things that you shouldn't do. That's when you're like, whoa, I got to stop this.
Yeah.
that's the great thing about salvation.
So you had a quote also from Charles Spurgeon.
Yeah. He said, Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, stated, "I do not believe that any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. The law is the needle, and you cannot draw the silken thread of the gospel through a man's heart unless you first send the needle of the law to make the way for it."
Yeah.
So if you think of the law like the needle, it has to penetrate, or there's no thread that will go through.
All right. We have to realize that we're sinners and we're lost without Christ.
Yes.
And God sent his one and only son.
Right. And I remember you telling me a story. So many things are going through my mind. I remember you telling me a story of someone you heard on a podcast or something you were listening to, and they had said how they had been at a Billy Graham convention, like at one of his big revival conventions that he did. And he said he went forward and he got saved, but nothing happened. Mm. It wasn't a real salvation. It wasn't a real relationship. And that is, I think, sometimes what it is. That's why one-on-one is so good, because you can talk to people, you know, and say, well, okay, this is a sin.
Yeah.
You know, do you understand that? And you can't do this anymore.
Well, one of my most favorite outreach programs is Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I love being a part of that ministry. And we've seen it. We participated in it several times. We've seen a lot of people come forward at the end, at the altar call, and get saved.
Emotional
because they're scared of going to hell. And listen, that is a fear we should have. That is a real thing. If you're not saved, I'm here to tell you are on your way to hell. But anyway, so these people, they get saved, and the fear wears off. Like you said, the parachute. You know, I'm in an airplane. I've got a parachute on.
I don't need this.
On.
God's not here. He's not coming back. Is he even real?
Right. You know, the plane's not crashing.
Right.
I don't really need to wear this thing, do I? And we see him fall away. But there are those few that it sticks, because they realize that they are lost without God. Even when life is going good for them,
right,
they're still a sinner.
I feel like sometimes we let them down as Christians. You know, once someone gets saved, it's not the end. It's just the beginning of their journey.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to come alongside them, and we have to say, hey, wait a minute, you need to come over here. You know, you should be reading your Bible every day. You should be talking to the Lord every day.
Right.
Because that's how you build a relationship. Why do I have the convictions I do? Why do I feel wrong for doing the things that I do when I, you know, if I sin, why do I have conviction? Because I have a relationship with the Lord.
Right. And when we sin against him. And if you're a saved person, you don't feel good about that.
Right.
You don't just blow it off and go, oh, well. You know, one of the quotes from Oswald Chambers in his wisdom little thing at the end of his devotion the other day said, the mistake that most people make is that they think God is an amenable object that doesn't care much about sin. And that's a God that we shape in our own
mind. They take
Jesus'
grace, and that's why you can't leave the Old Testament out. You have to have the whole Bible. You have to read the Old Testament to understand the righteousness,
the reason
the sovereignty
for Christ's
of
coming.
God.
Absolutely.
Yes, because God cannot look at sin without Jesus.
Right.
You know, God cannot look at it.
That's why when we get saved, we're in Christ, because when I was a baby Christian, I had all kinds of questions. And one guy just simplified it for me one time. I was at a Bible study, and he said, basically, God's got on Jesus' glasses.
Yeah, that's good.
when he looks at us,
he sees you through the Jesus glasses.
He sees his son.
Right.
If we're in Christ, he's looking at us, and he's got his Jesus glasses on. He sees Jesus, who was the one perfect sacrifice that paid for our sins, that rose again from the grave.
That's right. And you don't need me to point out you don't need someone else to point out the sins that you commit after you become saved, because you're walking with the Lord then,
right,
and he'll take care of it.
Amen. Amen. That's one thing I struggle with sometimes, because I have strong convictions, and I'll be in some situations and people will be like, oh, you don't need to worry about that too much. I'm like, no, listen, I serve a holy God, and I've got to keep it right before him all the time. I try not to let the list build up. You know what I mean? I just confess my sins to the Lord and God, I need more grace. I need more mercy. So anyway, well, that was great, Kel. I'm glad that we were able to
get
that out to the people today. The devil's best kept secret.
That's right. You've got to have the law.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, right. Anyway, we would encourage you today.
If you haven't already.
Give your life to
Christ.
That's
right. Get in Exodus. Daily, read the Ten Commandments.
It's a daily walk.
Yes.
It's a daily walk, and you will be blessed. We love you, and we will talk to you
later.
Or next time.
Probably later.
Okay.